Welcome to Love Amped, an exploration of healing others through healing ourselves. Check out loveamped.com for additional resources and support.
Love Amped. Hello friends and welcome back to Love Amped. I'm your host Seth Pearson, and this week we're going to be jumping into the Burning Man recordings, this time with my friend Amanda Koppel. We drove to Burning Man together and had a blast doing it, and just enjoy.
What exactly is going down?
Amanda, here we are. Tell us where we are.
Seth, we are in line with a bunch of other of our best friends going to Burning Man.
We're going to Burning Man. It's 1:20 in the morning.
We're at Burning Man. We're just nearly there.
Yeah. We're not inside yet, but are our hearts inside?
Our hearts are inside, yeah.
I think so.
Amanda. Pretty close.
Why are we here together? What brought us here?
We were brought here by Camp Banana.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that can explain it.
Yeah, that's really it.
Camp Banana.
It's incredible.
Yep. Like, you just meet and you just know that you have to be friends with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens.
And that's what goes down.
And here we are.
That's amazing. Amanda, tell us a bit about yourself. Who is Amanda? Like, I know there's a lot of details. Yep. Give us a brief overview.
Well, Amanda, her middle name is Rose.
Wow.
Amanda Rose Ingeborg.
Rose Ingeborg?
Yeah, there's two middle names.
There's two.
Amanda Rose Ingeborg Koppel.
Very cool.
I'm from Colorado. I used to be a ballerina. I am a sister and a teacher and a healer and a friend and an artist and a dancer and... Yeah. I have a dog. I live in Portland. And I do some cool shit. Am I allowed to say shit?
Damn right you
okay.
are. And damn right you do amazing shit.
I do some cool shit with my life so far. Like going to Burning Man with you.
Yeah! Fantastic. Okay, Amanda, what has been some of the hardest points in your life to love yourself? And how did you get through them?
Well, the first one that comes to mind... was when I stopped dancing professionally, quitting my dance job in Denver was total identity crisis.
Mm.
It was something I, being a ballerina was something I'd identified with for 20 years, and it was impacting parts of my life that I wasn't even aware of, like how I walked and what I knew it impacted like what I ate and how I slept, but who I took myself to be and what I thought was possible for me in my life was definitely being impacted by dance and by the culture around it and the people that I was existing around. And when I stopped doing that and kind of lost that container for my identity, it was really hard to love myself because I didn't know who I was to love, like without that title and without that, the habits that you have to do to kind of like fill your days, keeping your body in shape. Who was I? I mean, I just wasn't anyone. I lost, all the things that made me, and I had to find out over time that what made me wasn't the things that I did. It was something that I came here with and that I get to keep no matter what I do.
Mm.
Like, what is the part of me that is unchanging? Is the part of me that would have been the same whether I had been a ballerina or a lawyer or a doctor or none of those things. Like, been like on the streets, been, you know, whatever.
You would still be Amanda.
Still be Amanda, yeah. And so I had to figure out what that was and learn how to love that. And that was probably the most challenging one.
Yeah. And when you got through it, like, what was the change?
It was nice. It was like this sensation that, I mean, it doesn't work all the time, but it's a little bit the sensation that kind of something always has my back. Like, there's always a certainty that whoever it is I am, I trust, and I can carry that with me regardless of what happens in my life. I mean, things have changed a lot since that happened, since I left dance, and that was 4 years ago. And it feels now like I can allow things to happen more quickly and without controlling them as much, because I have faith that I'm going to be myself no matter what on the other side. Mm-hmm. And since I've done that, lots of doors have opened and things have unfolded in a way that they weren't before, that they couldn't have before, because I was trying to control how other people saw me or who I was by what I did. And I don't do that anymore. So it feels like freedom is on the other side of that. For me,
it's like probably immense freedom. It's like,
yeah,
unrelentless. How do you see the sense of self and identity? How do you differentiate those two?
I think that for me, just really base level identity is how I am on the outside, like from my skin out, like observable behaviors that I'm engaging in on a daily basis, and who I take myself to be in the world socially, what communities I'm engaged in. And for me, sense of self is something that is introspective. It's from skin in. It's what I'm feeling about myself that other people don't know. And they're very intertwined, right? It's like when I'm take certain actions outside with my identity, I feel a certain way about myself on the inside. Mm-hmm. And learning, I think, to detach those things a little bit, that we can have a strong sense of self regardless of our wins or failures outside of our skin. Mm-hmm. Is a really important skill to develop, or tool to develop. Does that answer the question?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So when you were figuring out your new identity, did you feel like you had the sense of self the whole time, or where did that develop?
No, is the answer to that question. For sure, I didn't have the sense of self. I had a coach that I worked with when I was working through that transition, which is amazing.
Like a life coach?
Hire a coach. If you don't have a coach, just do it. It'll change your life for the better. Times 10,000. Yeah. She was like a life and business coach. And but not business like, I'm going to help you fix your business. But she's like, I think a lot of people can start businesses that don't.
Ooh, nice.
And so just like, what is that for you? Like, what is the thing that's going to, you know, propel you? And
interesting.
And one thing we talked a lot about is the pleasure compass, and how when we don't know what to do and it doesn't feel like there's a map or a road to walk down or a container within where exists, you know, within which to exist, you just have to listen to your pleasure compass. And the pleasure compass is like in your heart, and you just walk towards the things that are pleasing to you. And it's not pleasing to you like short-term gratification, like ice cream, but it can be in the moment. But what is the thing that is pleasing to me? Like, what brings me joy, or even like a tiny smile when I do it? And to walk towards that thing and spend more time there, and slowly start to discover, like, what is it about this thing? Even if it's like when I sit still in the morning with my coffee, you know, that brings me joy. Spend more time there. Like, what is it about this? What is it about this introspective time? Or if it's certain people that you're having conversations with, what is it about those people, or that type of activity that feels beautiful and engaging. And I started practicing that, and it was hard at first because I didn't know how to listen to that. It was like, what pleasure compass in my heart, you know? I don't know what you're talking about. I have a compass that tells me, you know, what's pleasing to me. And I discovered that she was right, that I did have that. And before, I had been basing my pleasure and my joy on what made other people comfortable or happy, not what made me comfortable or happy. Wow. And so that was part of the discovering my way, my, you know, how to decipher what was mine and what I wanted.
Wow. Wow. It's like, did you feel like after all those years of, like, potentially not being honest with yourself, it makes it harder to, like, re-engage with that?
I do, yeah. I think it's a habit that we build, but I also think we're changing all the time. So there were points when I was being honest with myself, and I changed, you know? Like, I shifted. At one point, I loved ballet, and that's what I wanted to do with my life. And that wanting to do that and have that experience and be a professional dancer, that outweighed everything else, and that was true for me. Mm-hmm. And so there's not one truth, right? It's like one thing that I've most definitely realized in the 4 years since then is that it's a constant process of what pleases me now. And just to add a little bit to the pleasing thing, it's like whatever it is that pleases you the most is the thing that you're going to be most interested in, invested in, and that thing becomes the thing that you're the best at. And the thing that you're the best at is the best way for you to help the world. So even if it's like you're a singer or a musician or an artist, or, you know, you like to, I don't know, do needlepoint, like whatever the thing is that you love to do, if you follow that to its end and become good at it, you're going to inspire someone else, you know? And I think that there should be a real push towards kids, especially having these conversations out loud and with themselves internally of like, what is the thing that's pleasing to me? And to encourage that conversation to keep happening, not just like, oh, I pick a major and now I do this job for the rest of my life. Like, we're gonna change. I've changed again. I've thought that what I wanted to do was 3 or 4 different things in the last 3 or 4 years. And I didn't pick one and say, okay, great, now I've chosen my next 20-year process.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this constant loving yourself. It's this constant, like, tapping back into, if I'm deeply caring for myself in this moment, what will I engage in? And it's just it's like taking a shower every day, you know? It's like you do it to keep your soul clean and pure.
I love it. Well, we talked about earlier how you were like extremely like giving person, very like nurturing, like mothering person. When has that had like negative consequences in your life? When have you like ran out?
A couple times, mostly in relationships, and I think with my job, with my dance job, that happened. Have you ever done the Enneagram test?
No.
Okay, the Enneagram test is something you should do. It's really cool. It's like a personality test, like Myers-Briggs, but way better. So I'm a type 4 Enneagram, to anyone who knows what it is.
Oh, and my gosh.
The Enneagram talks
everyone's
about,
freaking out everyone's on the freaking podcast, out. By the way. Yeah. They're like, oh, shit, we got a type 4.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So you should all go take the Enneagram test. Pause the podcast and go take the Enneagram test and then come back.
Okay, see ya, bye.
See ya. Okay, bye. Anyways, basically the test is really cool because it tells you when you're integrated, like when you're in a positive growth space, you know, where you're headed and when you're not in a positive growth space where you're headed, where you're, when you're disintegrating. And what I disintegrate into number two, type two, which is called the helper, which means that when I'm disintegrated, when I am like at my worst, I try to help people that don't even want my help. So I am, there are people around me, they're not asking for my help. They don't need my help even. They probably don't want it. And I'm helping them anyways. And then after a long time, I'm helping them and I'm helping them and they don't really want my help, but they're letting me do it to be nice. I resent them because I'm like, I've been helping you for so long and you're not grateful. Mm-hmm. Right? But they never wanted it. So that's just basic. That's for type two, how I did what I disintegrate into. Mm-hmm. And that, so I know in my life when I'm in a really challenging times, when I'm trying to be the helper and help people that don't need help, because I think it's going to fill me up to help someone else. Mm-hmm. I know that I need to do some self-care.
Okay. What does that look like to you?
Oh, the self-care?
Yeah.
For me, it's being alone a lot because I am definitely an introvert. I love people, but I'm really in the middle, but I have got to process on my own. And that usually means taking my dog and my truck and my surfboard or my mountain bike and going to the woods or the coast and being alone, like spending a night by myself, camping, journaling, meditating, singing my face off to music in the car, and just having some time to like digest the life experiences that I'm experiencing, that I'm having. That's the thing that fills me up and resets me the most.
Awesome. And you mentioned like resentfulness, like what is, or and resentment in general, what does that feel like for you?
It's the worst because it has no grounding, right? So this resent, when I'm in that situation, for example, like at a really hard breakup, like a year and 3 months ago, that I had to break up with someone because they stopped showing up to the relationship and I gave them everything that I had for months, and because I wanted it to work so badly, and I meditated and meditated on it and asked the universe, like, what should I do? Should I like call a counselor and try to, you know, get this person some help, or, you know, who do I talk to? What do I do? Should I, you know, talk to them about it? Should I not? Should I be happy all the time? Should I match their energy? You know, like I tried every solution, and the solution was that I had to break up with them. That was the one thing I didn't want to do. And when I finally did break up with them, I resented them so much for quote unquote wasting 6 months of my life of me dumping my energy into them. But I could have broken up with them at any time, right? Yeah. It was like that resentment that I pointed towards them was actually disappointment in myself. That I didn't have the strength to say no and to stop what was happening when I should have. And it doesn't feel good because it's blame, right? It's blaming them for my life. It's blaming them for my responsibility for myself. And when I say there's no grounding, it's like there's no foundation. There's no strings that hold it to the earth. It's like I can't prove that it's his fault that happened. It isn't. It's my fault that it happened. I could have left at any moment and made a different choice. And I didn't do that. So yeah, it's yucky. It's not very cool.
And like that final like moment, like before, or like right before, like doing the breakup, like what was the point where it was like, okay, today's the day?
Yeah, there was, we were getting really mad at each other for silly things. And really, I would say that my mood was highly based on his mood. And his was highly based on mine. And so we're mirroring so hard that if I, you know, if he showed up and he was miserable or unhappy or having a bad day, it was almost impossible for me to, like, individuate. I don't even know if that's a word from that, to pull myself apart.
Recently heard it's called enmeshing.
Enmeshing, okay. But what's like the what happens when you stop enmeshing?
When
you pull apart?
Oh, I don't know. Independence.
Yeah, it was... I couldn't separate his experience of being alive from my own.
Mm-hmm.
And that... There was a day when that was made very clear that he got really upset and it made me really upset. And I didn't... We didn't need to go there together. And I did actually pull myself... I stepped back and I said, whoa, you're having a problem. Not me. I'm not having that problem right now, you know? And that was when I realized, like, okay, this is it.
Wow.
This is what has to happen now.
Yeah. That's really tough. The enmeshing. I'm wondering, like, how you can be close without enmeshing, or maybe, I mean, I'm not sure if it's, like, if things are right, that enmeshing is okay. Like, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I guess that this is weird, but, like, one tactic is to plan separation. Like, plan almost, like, painful separation times, you know? So that whether it's once a month or, you know, maybe it's not painful, but I think for some people it would be like, okay, once a month we're going to spend 5 days completely apart every month, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, once a month I get a weekend and we're like, I'm going to go do whatever I want and I don't have to tell you what I'm doing. But, like, we will be separate. Like, we will not spend this time together.
Yeah.
Almost to the point of, like, to remind yourself that you are an individual human that can make your own choices and do your own things, because the enmeshing is beautiful. I mean, there's beauty in it. It's, but when you reach that point where when you're apart, you don't feel whole on your own, that's really dangerous. Feeling to start to have.
Like that idea you just came up with. I don't know, for me, there's almost like sometimes in relationship stuff, because I'm like less experienced in them, there's almost like those kind of things, like that's like a cool strategy. It sounds awesome, but it's almost like I have to like read it in a book somewhere or hear it from like a professional or something like that. Mm-hmm. To even try stuff like that, because it sounds like it's like, wait, why are we having to force this time apart or something like that? I'm not sure.
Have you ever felt enmeshed with someone?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
When that was happening for you, did your inner compass know that you were enmeshed with the person?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so I think that that's enough. You know? Like, if you're constantly checking in with yourself... And if you are like, I'm doing my daily check-in, and your insides are like, hey, we enmeshed with this person, and like, we are not feeling like an individual right now, or like, they just had a freak out, and we went with them down that weird road, that is a red flag.
Oh, yeah. You know? So, I mean, there's a lot of, like, being honest with, like, my emotions that it's like, that I've learned.
Well, there's the thing. And learning. There it is, right? It's like...
yeah.
The willingness to do the check-in, the capacity to have the emotional intelligence to know what you're feeling, which is a skill, and then the really hard part, the hardest part, which is being honest about what you feel and turning what you feel into an action, which can be painful for the other person. Like, hey, I don't actually know what's coming up for me right now, but I'm feeling like I'm getting really caught up in you, and I'm needing to spend the weekend away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be a formula. It can just be based on how you feel.
Yeah.
But I'm making the formula based on how I feel, which is that about every 4 weeks, I probably need a recess.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I'm like, as we're talking more about it, it kind of comes back to the idea of like relationships being like perfect or like you know, just again movies or something like that, or just on all that stuff. And so I think that's where, that's why.
Like, if your relationship was perfect, you wouldn't like need time apart.
Yeah, yeah. If you were fully right for each other, which is silly.
Not gonna happen, honey.
Which is very silly, very silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No way.
Interesting. The enmeshing is an interesting one.
Interesting. Very
Man.
Dangerous.
Okay. Also, thank you for that.
And
tell me more.
No, I was just practicing improv with you.
And
also. Yes, and.
Tell me also, and tell us, about Mindful Mornings.
Ooh, okay. Mindful Mornings is this thing that I do. I started it with my friend Megan, and it is a breakfast lecture series on mindfulness or well-being. Happens once a month. The last Wednesday of every month. And the point of it is to share mindfulness tools that wouldn't otherwise be shared or wouldn't otherwise be accessible to kind of everyday people. Not everyone's going to go sit in a yoga class and learn pranayama, right? Which pranayama is breath work.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone is going to go sit, you know, go to Dharma talk and hear, you know, some principles from Buddhism that are super helpful for day-to-day life, like stuff we're talking about right now. Not everyone is going to pay to go to a nutritionist to learn about their digestive system or a posture specialist.
I need to do that, guys.
Or, I don't know. It's like there are all of these amazing, amazing, amazing tools. And not just about like the body and self-development, but we have someone coming in later this year who's going to talk about mindfulness with the transgender community. So how to be mindful of how you're engaging and interacting in, you know, with the transgender community and with people who aren't transgender around that topic. And so it's just bringing mindfulness to areas of our lives that we wouldn't usually think mindfulness applied. And it's not on a cushion, and it's not, you know, in a yoga studio. It's totally secular. It's all of these just like tiny tools, and you leave every session with a tool you can use that you've done in the session. You can use it today. You could easily tell all your friends or family what it was. And it's making a beautiful impact on the Portland community that I've seen. It's been a place for people to meet other people who are interested in living more intentional lives and being conscious of the way they're showing up in the world for themselves and for other people. And right now we're sponsored by a ton of really great companies like Jacobs and Salt Companies, donating this space for us right now. And we have Water Avenue Coffee there and Portland Juice Company.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, fasten the seatbelt.
Oh, God. Oh, man, it wants me to. No.
Oh. Okay.
It'll pop up again.
Okay, we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see the beeping. So there's Water Avenue Coffee and Brew Doctor Kombucha. And, ooh, that's a good idea. And Honey Mama's Chocolate, which is great. Red Bars. I said Portland Juice Co., Smith Tea. Right now we're sponsored by this female-run bakery called Wild Bread. We have New Cascadia Traditional Bakery. It's just
got a lot
amazing
of good stuff going on.
Yeah, people
like,
just come
so
in,
cool.
Eat breakfast, and we just got sponsored by Central, which is a co-working space, and news is out. We're going to, in the future, we don't know when yet, but in the future we will be moving the events to their event location on the, or event space at the offices on the east side of Portland. And so we'll be able to hold like 130 or 140 people every month.
It's a big deal.
For these free events for the community sponsored by corporate companies.
Wow. This is big news. This is a big deal. Portland listeners, get out there.
Come
on.
Mindful Mornings. The company that hosts it is called We Mindful. And that's mindful with a Y. And it's just wemindful.com.
We mindful.
Yeah.
We mindful. It's going to be great.
I'm looking.
I'm excited to attend one day and view your video archive as well, which is really cool.
The webpage has videos from every event.
Oh my gosh.
Posted. So you can check them out at any time.
I have one more thing after my next question.
Okay.
But my next question is there anything else self-love-wise that you want to give out to people right now?
Yeah. Don't wait is what I want to say. I think that we all have this idea that when I blank, then I'll love myself. You know, when I only blank, then I'll love myself. When I this, when I that, when I make this certain amount of money, and maybe that's cliche to say, but it's so true, and you're all doing it. I know you are. I'm doing it too. But the thing is that's a moving target. So once you reach that place, the target changes. And once you start to realize that not loving yourself is just a habit. It's just it's a mood that you're in. It's a choice that you're making. And it's a choice that you can either stop making or continue to make, regardless of what you achieve. Regardless of if you're married and have kids or don't. Regardless of, you know, if you have the job you want or don't, or the car you want or don't, or the growth and development that you think you need or don't. I mean, it's like, don't wait to find ways to love yourself. Do it now. Make that the priority, because everything else in your life is likely to unfold in a much more beautiful way, in a way that's more open, in a way that's more aligned. You're going to see doors that you otherwise wouldn't have seen if you make loving yourself a practice right now.
Well said. Thank you.
Yeah.
And for our final thing, do you want to sing our meow song?
Do you want to sing a song?
I would love to sing.
Okay. You want to sing the meow song?
I kind of want to sing the meow song.
Okay.
Because it's very funny.
You feel like that's a good song for the podcast?
Absolutely. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Because
I mean, I'm game.
Because it's kind of I think we're at Burning Man.
We are.
And you know, there's no rules. There's like,
yeah.
I mean
no rules that we didn't make up just now.
No.
So we've been making lots of really cool songs. This one we sang a while ago, so we'll have to remember it, but
yeah.
It came from a song that was playing. It originated from a song that we were listening to.
Some song.
Some song. Anyways. Meow.
Meow.
How does it go?
It goes.
Meow.
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 I'll meow if you lick my meow right meow.
I'll meow if you lick my meow right meow.
Meow. Meow.
I'll meow if you lick my meow right now. Meow, 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 meow right meow.
Meow if you lick my meow right meow.
I'm down if you lick my meow right meow.
Meow, right meow, right meow, right meow.
Right meow,
right meow, right meow. I want you to lick my meow right meow. I'll meow. Meow if you lick my meow right meow
right meow
right meow right down if you lick my meow right meow I'm down I'm down I'm down if you lick my meow right meow 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 meow. We're at fucking Burning Man. Amanda, thank you so much. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Seth.
You're welcome. Thanks for being my friend.
Of course.
You're the best.
Always.
Yay.
Bye, lovely people.
Oh, yeah. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, adios.
Love Amped.
So much wisdom. Guys, check out wemindful.com. Mindful with a Y in there. There are past recordings that she has up there that you can watch
And you can reserve your spot if you are in Portland and get a chance to check one of these events out. They sound wonderful. So thanks again to Amanda for sharing. And love yourselves out there, guys.
This was Love Amped, a podcast by Seth Pearson. Check out loveamped.com for more info on today's topic.